Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma for me, and the big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. My blood pressure was out of control. My sugar was out of control. Waste of time. So I went an alternative route. I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR with very good results. Now, these products, accompanied with self-control of your diet and plenty of exercise, which is the key, well, my blood pressure is down in the normal range. My weight is way down, which brings my blood sugar level way down. And all in all, I feel pretty doggone good. So, if you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Tell Patrick what's going on with your health, and he can help you out. Thank you for listening, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show's word for word, I'm Pastor Steve. This is show number 457. We are in 2 Corinthians. We will be beginning with chapter 2. I suggest that you have something to write to get some of these notes. There's not so many as in a lot of the other chapters. It's not going to give you writer's cramp, okay? But there are some. So let's get started here. This is the second letter from Paul to the assembly at Corinth. And chapter 2 starts out with, this is verse 1. And I decided this within myself, not to come to you again in sadness. Verse 2. For if I make you sad, then who is he who makes me glad but the one who is made sad by me? Verse 3. And I wrote to you as I did, so that having come, I might not have sadness over those from whom I should have joy, trusting in you that all my joy is that of you all. Verse 4. For out of much pressure and distress of heart, I wrote to you with many tears. Not that you should be sad, but that you might know the love which I so richly have for you. That's brotherly love for kindred Israelites, okay? That's what he's writing about here. Pardon me. Verse 5. But if anyone has caused sadness, he has not made me sad, but in some degree you all. Not to be too harsh. verse 6. For such a one, this punishment by the many is sufficient. Verse 7. So that, on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort, lest somehow such a one be swallowed up with too much sadness. Verse 8. So I appeal to you to confirm your love to him. In other words, if somebody's messing up a little bit and struggling and having some problems, don't come down on them too hard. Come down on them with love and speak to them with kindness. And keep them in the congregation if possible. That's what he's saying. You know, be gentle with one another. Okay? Verse 9. Besides, I wrote for this purpose also, that I might know the proof of you, if you are obedient in all. Verse 10. And whom you forgive any, I do also. For indeed, if I have forgiven any, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the sight of Messiah. Verse 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his thoughts. And verse 12 and 13 here, you can reference Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 1. The book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 1 for 12 and 13. Verse 12. And when I came to Troas for the good news of Messiah, and a door was opened to me by the Master, verse 13, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia. That's Macedonia, okay? The way they spell it in English. Verse 14. But thanks be to Elohim, who always leads us on to overcome in Messiah and manifest through us the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Verse 15. Because we are to Elohim the fragrance of Messiah among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Verse 16. To the one we are the smell of death to death, and to the other the fragrance of life to life. And who is competent for these? Verse 17. For we are not, as so many, adulterating the word of Elohim. And they have in italics here, for gain. But as from Elohim, in the sight of Elohim, we speak in Messiah. In other words, these men were not preaching the gospel to get money. They were not sellouts. They were not money-greedy people. They were there as a matter of duty and love for Yeshua Messiah. They were not commercial, let's do it for profit and gain like we have today, preachers. Because they have monetized the churches of today, and they are commercial enterprises. They have become businesses. I had to get a hit of coffee there. And they were not doing that. They were doing it out of love and duty to the Messiah. Now, beginning chapter 3, verse 1, are we to begin to recommend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some, letters of recommendation to you or from you? Well, you know, do they have to have, you know, if they're not good enough, do they have to get a recommendation in writing from these people? That's what these churches do today. If you want to change churches, if you move from one town to another, you have to take a letter of introduction from those people. They've got it down to a science. Make it all complicated. Okay? Verse 2. You are our letter, having been written in our heart, in our hearts, known and read by all men. Verse 3, and you can reference Exodus chapter 24, verse 12. That's Exodus 24, 12. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. That's Jeremiah 31, 33. And Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. And chapter 36, verse 26. That's Ezekiel 11:19 and 36:26. Verse 3. Making it obvious that you are a letter of Messiah, served by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living Elohim, not on tablets of stone, but on fleshly tablets of the heart. Verse 4. Pardon me, I've got a little chest congestion this evening. I couldn't catch that cough. I apologize. Verse 4. And such trust we have toward Elohim through the Messiah. Verse 5. Not that we are competent in ourselves to reckon any matter as from ourselves, but our competence is from Elohim. All right? They are guided by the hand of Yahweh. They were picked. They were chosen. They were called out. He gives gifts to those he wants to use in his service. Now, I testify to that because I'm an old ex-con. I've had a horrible life. I've been a sinner. And he took me out of the world and changed me around and has made me a new man in Yeshua Messiah. And if he can do that for me, and he did it for Paul, who was a persecutor and a killer of the Christians, he can do it for anybody. So that's what he's saying here. Not that we are competent in ourselves to reckon any matter as from ourselves, but our competence is from Elohim. Verse 6. Reference Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. That's Jeremiah 31, 31. Verse 6, who also made us competent as servants of a renewed covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. In other words, he's not being a legalist. He understands the failings and frailties of people. He's not demanding that they keep the entire Torah because no one but Yeshua ever did. And the Torah, if you eliminate Yeshua as a factor, brings death. But the spirit of what it's written for through Yeshua gives you life. Verse 7. And you can reference Exodus chapter 34, verse 29. Exodus 34, 29. Verse 7. But if the administering of death in letters engraved on stone was esteemed, so that the children of Israel were unable to look steadily at the face of Moshe because of the esteem of his face, which was passing away. Verse 8, how much more esteemed shall the administering of the Spirit be? Of the Spirit not be, pardon me. How much more esteemed shall the administering of the Spirit not be? Verse 9, for if the administering of condemnation had esteem, the administering of righteousness exceeds much more in esteem. Verse 10. For indeed what was made esteemed had no esteem in this respect, in view of the esteem that excels. Verse 11. For if that which is passing away was esteemed, much more that which remains in esteem. In other words, the world's passing away and all the sins and all the legalistic requirements that no one could keep completely. So Yeshua bailed us out because we were dying in our sins. And what he has asked of us in the new covenant is believe on him and do your very best. Give a real effort, not fake, not lip service, into keeping Yahweh's rules. He never said that the Torah was done away with. He gave us a new start, a new chance. That's what Yeshua brought us. Verse 12. And verse 12 here, you can reference 4th Maccabees, chapter 10, verse 5. 4th Maccabees 10, verse 5. Having then such expectation, we use much boldness of speech. In other words, they proclaim the gospel of Yeshua boldly. Verse 13. You can reference Exodus 34, verses 33 through 35. That's the book of Exodus 34, verses 33 through 35 for verse 13. And not like Moshe, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel should not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. He came down off that mountain and glowed, and they couldn't look at him, because the world was going to pass away, and the Messiah was going to come. They had rules to obey in hopes of the coming Messiah. Moshe spoke of the Messiah, okay? Verse 14. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when the old covenant is being read, that same veil remains, not lifted, because in Messiah it is taken away. Verse 15, but to this day, when Moshe is being read, a veil lies on their heart. In other words, they're not really hearing the whole word. verse 16, and you can reference Exodus chapter 34, verse 34. Exodus 34, verse 34. And when one turns to the master, the veil is taken away. Verse 17. Now Yahweh is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of Yahweh is, there is freedom. Verse 18. And for verse 18, you can reference 4th Maccabees, chapter 9, verse 22. 4th Maccabees 9, 22. Verse 18. And we all, as with unveiled face we see as in a mirror the esteem of Yahweh, are being transformed into the same likeness from esteem to esteem as from Yahweh the Spirit. You will be a new man in Yahweh if you follow Yeshua Messiah. That's what he's saying here. You will be a new man. And you will have glory, but it will be the glory of Yahweh that comes on you through Yeshua Messiah. Now that ends chapter 3 of the book of 2 Corinthians, beginning chapter 4. We're going to get quite a bit done today because these are short chapters. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, having this service, even as we received compassion, we do not lose heart. Verse 2. But have renounced the secret ways of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor falsifying the word of Elohim, but by the manifestation of the truth, recommending ourselves to every human conscience in the sight of Elohim. In other words, they're truth tellers. They're not being deceptive. They're not doing secret, shameful things like a lot of these pastors in these Judeo-Christian churches today. They have secret little lives that they're leading. And we're bold. We're right out in front. We're trying to follow what Paul taught and being bold in our speech, preaching the good news of Yeshua Messiah, because it's needed in the world today as it was needed in the world back then. Verse 3 of chapter 4. And indeed, if our good news has been veiled, it has been veiled in those who are perishing. The ones that have hardened their heart, that are not going to hear the word is veiled from them. Yahweh's not going to call and save everybody in Israel because there are some that are beyond redemption. They have put themselves there. Now that's pretty hard. But that's how it is. Verse 4 of chapter 4, you can reference Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 6. Luke 4, 6. This is verse 4. In whom the mighty one of this age, that's Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that the enlightening of the good news of the esteem of Messiah, who is the likeness of Elohim, does not shine on them. They are under the power of the prince and power of the air. That's what he's saying. Those who are perishing because they're following the devil, they're worshiping stuff. They don't want to hear the word. They don't want to hear the good news of Yeshua. They've hardened their hearts. And they've doomed themselves. Can't help that. Some we can help, some we can't. That people have to make a conscious choice. Verse 5, for we do not proclaim ourselves, but Messiah, Yeshua, the Master, and ourselves, your servants, for the sake of Yeshua. They're not bragging on them. They're not saving anyone. They didn't die on the cross. Yeshua did that. That was his miracle that he did. Verse 6 of chapter 4. You can reference Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Genesis 1, verse 3. For Elohim who said, let light shine out of the darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts for the enlightening of the knowledge of the esteem of Elohim in the face of Yeshua, Messiah. He's shining the light of truth in the hearts of those that worship him and call upon the name and call upon Yeshua. Okay? That light shines on you. You're no longer in darkness of ignorance. Verse 7. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's our current bodies. So that the excellence of the power might be of Elohim and not of us. Verse 8. Being hard pressed on every side. In other words, persecuted. But not crushed. Being perplexed, but not in despair. Verse 9, being persecuted, but not forsaken. Being thrown down, but not destroyed. Verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Master Yeshua, that the life of Yeshua might also be manifested in our body. In other words, following him in word and deed, trying to emulate Yeshua and what he taught. And in this world today with all the persecutions, it's tough. I'm not saying it's not tough. I'm not giving you fake hope. We are told that it's going to be tough. The world hates us because it hated Yeshua first. Verse 11, for we, the living, are always delivered to death for the sake of Yeshua, that the life of Yeshua might also be manifested in our mortal flesh. Verse 12, so that death indeed is working in us, but the life in you. You have to fight temptation, fight sin. Sin leads to death. It's always working on you. The disciples also were delivered over to be executed. Delivered to death for the sake of Yeshua. That's a dual meaning right there. Verse 13, but having the same spirit of belief according to what has been written, I believe, therefore I spoke. And that's Psalm 116, verse 10. That's Psalm 116, verse 10. I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Because if you really have received Yeshua, you can't help except testify about him. Verse 14, knowing that he who raised up the Master Yeshua, that's Yahweh, shall also raise us up through Yeshua and shall present us with you. other words, that the remnant's going to be raised up, all of us together. Verse 15. For all this is for your sake, so that favor, having spread through the many, would cause thanksgiving to overflow unto the esteem of Elohim. Gives glory to God when people come over into the remnant. He loves that. It gives him great pleasure to have a child come home. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. But even if our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. In other words, if you get old and you break down and something happens and you're going to die, the inward man will live on. Verse 17, for this slight momentary pressure is working for us a far more exceeding and everlasting weight of esteem. For, in other words, whatever we suffer here will be to glory, both to us and to Yahweh. Because Yahweh's working is in us. Verse 18. We are not looking on what is seen, but on what is not seen. For what is seen passes away, but what is not seen is everlasting. That's the spirit and the power of Yahweh. And you can reference Romans chapter 8, verse 24, and Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 13. That's Romans 8:24 and Hebrews 11, verse 1 and 13. And that ends chapter 4 of the book of 2 Corinthians. Now we're going to get into chapter 5. I mean, there's, like I said, there's not a lot of notes. What takes all the time is the ton of notes. This one doesn't have that many. I'm giving them to you, but this is fairly a straight read. This is chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1. And you can reference for this verse the Wisdom of Solomon in your Apocrypha, chapter 9, verse 15. Wisdom of Solomon 9:15. Verse 1. For we know that if the tent of our earthly house is destroyed, in other words, we die, we have a building from Elohim. That's a new temple. That's the new body we'll get. A house not made with hands, everlasting in the heavens. We exist in two places at once. Okay? We're not occupying that new temple that will be given us because we're still being tested in this one. But if we are born from above and this body is destroyed, we will occupy that second body at the resurrection because we are from Yahweh. He knew us from before the foundation of the world, okay? We're His, those of us that are believers and doers. Verse 2, for indeed in this we groan. In other words, we suffer in this body, longing to put on our dwelling which is from heaven. Oh, we want to be in that renewed body. Verse 3, so that, having put it on, we shall not be found naked. In other words, just a soul adrift. Verse 4. For indeed, we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we wish to put it off, but to put on the other, so that what is to die might be swallowed up by life. In other words, these temporary temples break down. You leave these and you go to the one that's not going to decay. That's the promise, the resurrection, okay? This is just marvelous. Wow. Verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this same purpose is Elohim, who has given us the Spirit as a pledge of what is to come. Verse 6 of chapter 5. Therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Master. All right, we're in this body. We're not together with Yeshua. We're still undergoing our testing here on this planet. Verse 7. You can reference 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. That's 1 Corinthians 2, 14. For we walk by belief, not by sight. Okay? We believe, but we haven't experienced it yet. It's coming. Verse 8. We are of good courage and are well pleased rather than to be absent from the body and to be present with the Master. We have a job to do, in other words, while we're here. Verse 9. So we also make it our aim to be well pleasing to him, whether being at home or being away from home. Verse 10 of chapter 5. Reference Matthew 16:27. That's Matthew 16, verse 27. John, verse 5. Or John chapter 5, verse 29. I read that wrong. I'm sorry. John 5, verse 29. And Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Romans 14, 10. For we all have to appear before the judgment seat of Messiah in order for each one to receive according to what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Okay? Everybody's going to get resurrected in Israel, some to glory, some to the second death. You have to be judged by the Master if you are of the Master's lineage. If you are of Israel, you will be judged. Me too, you too, everybody has to stand in front of the throne of judgment. Verse 11. Knowing, therefore, the fear of Yahweh, we persuade men, but we have been made manifest to Elohim. And I also trust in your consciences to have been manifested. In other words, we are his inheritance. He knows us now. Okay? We have chosen, and we are his. Verse 12. For we do not again commend ourselves to you, but give you an occasion to boast on our behalf. In other words, you boast about Yeshua Messiah on our behalf, because we taught you, now you teach others. That's what he's saying. In order that you have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart, the superficial people. Okay. Verse 13. For whether we are beside ourselves, it was for Elohim, or whether we are of sound mind, it is for you. In other words, we taught you and preached to you and gave you our soundness of mind for you to carry this on. Verse 14, for the love of Messiah compels us, having judged this, that if one died for all, that's Yahshua, then all died. We all die to sin because of his sacrifice, if we make that covenant. And if we don't, well, then you don't get that. Verse 15, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. You don't live for yourself. You live for Yahshua Messiah. And verse 15, you can reference Romans chapter 14, verses 7 and 8. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. That's Romans 14, 7 and 8. And Galatians 2, 20. Verse 15, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised. You die to sin and you will be raised in immortality at the end. If you stay faithful. If. The big two-letter word, if you stay faithful. And if you don't, and you fall away, and you go back to the world, then you suffer the fate of the world. Give me a little drink of coffee here. I guess you can tell that I am fired up. I'm loving this. These writings are magnificent. Verse 16 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. So from now onwards, we know no one according to the flesh. In other words, you have a spiritual bond with your brethren. And if we have known Messiah according to the flesh, yet now we no longer know him thus. Knowing through the Spirit. Listen to this clearly. There, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a renewed creature. The old has passed away. See, all have become renewed. You become a new man, okay? You can reference, for verse 17, Romans chapter 6, verses 2 through 22. That's Romans 6, 2 through 22. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. That's Galatians 2, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. That's Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10. And 1 John chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. That's 1 John chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Verse 18. And all matters are from Elohim, who has restored us to favor with himself through Yahshua Messiah, and has given us the service of restoration to favor. Verse 19. That is, that Elohim was in Messiah restoring the world, in other words, the order of arrangement, to favor unto himself, not reckoning their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of restoration to favor. That is for those that willingly come under the covenant. He's going to change this satanic world order back at the last day here to the way it should be, and will renew the entire planet, and we will live as we're supposed to live instead of under the satanic influence that we're under now. It's coming to a head. You can see it in the world. Verse 20 of chapter 5. Therefore, we are envoys on behalf of Messiah, as though Elohim were pleading through us. We beg on behalf of Messiah, be restored to favor with Elohim. He's exhorting and pleading, please believe and do the word of Yeshua. Come under that holy covenant. We don't want you to fall away. Verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. In other words, he took the punishment that we should have had, the punishment of death. He took it upon himself and freed us from that, so that in him we might become the righteousness of Elohim. In other words, he is our righteousness, because we have no righteousness of our own. Now, what can you say to that? What can you possibly say to that? I mean, wow. Well, that ends chapter 5. Now, I've got about 10 minutes. A little more. There's 18 verses in chapter 6. I'm going to go ahead in chapter 6 here. Verse 1 of chapter 6. And working together, we also call upon you not to receive the favor of Elohim in vain. Verse 2. And you can reference Isaiah chapter 49, verse 8. Isaiah 49, 8 for verse 2. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in a day of deliverance I have helped you. See, now is the well-accepted time. See, now is a day of deliverance. Verse 3. Giving no cause of stumbling in whatever, so that the service is not blamed. In other words, straighten up. Act right. Don't make other people err by your behavior. Because he writes very flowery phrases here. Verse 4. Rather, we commend ourselves as servants of Elohim in every way. In much endurance, in pressures, that's persecution, in hardships, in distresses. Verse 5, reference Acts chapter 16, verse 23, Acts 16, 23. In stripes, that's beatings, in imprisonments, in disturbances, in toils, in watchings, in fastings. Verse 6, in cleanness, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the set-apart spirit, in love unfeigned. In other words, real love, not fake love. Okay? Verse 7. In the word of truth, in the power of Elohim, through the weapons of righteousness on the right and on the left. Verse 8. Through esteem and disrespect. In other words, being well regarded or being reviled. Through evil reports and good report. Talk good about the guy, talk bad about the guy. Okay? Regarded as deceivers and yet true. Because they called them liars because they didn't want to believe in Yeshua. They said, oh, you're deceivers. But they were not. They were true believers and truth tellers. They call us liars today that tell the truth. Same deal. Verse 9. As unknown and yet well known. As dying and see we live. As disciplined and yet not killed. In other words, they beat them and imprisoned them and whipped them and they didn't kill them yet. They all would be killed later, but not right now. Verse 10, as sad, yet always rejoicing. They were rejoicing in Yeshua, but sad because they were watching brothers in sin. Same as we are today. It grieves me to see our fellow Israelites go down the road to destruction. I can't stop them. I can only tell them the word. Same deal back then. We're carrying on this work today. Same work. As poor, yet enriching many. They enriched people through the Spirit. They didn't have material possessions, but they were full of the Holy Spirit. As having none, and yet possessing all that counts. Everlasting life, that's a great possession. Earthly possessions, they'll pass away. Verse 11, our mouth has spoken openly to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. Verse 12, you are not restrained by us, but you are restrained by your own affections. Verse 13, but for the same reward, I speak as to children. Open wide your hearts too. Here's a very important verse. Verse 14. Do not become unevenly yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness and lawlessness? And what fellowship has light with darkness? In other words, if you're in a relationship with an unbeliever, you need to get out of that relationship. You need to get away from them because they'll drag you down. If you have friends that are unbelievers, they're not really your friends. You need to separate from them. Okay, verse 15. And what agreement has Messiah with Belial? Now that's worthlessness. Okay. Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? Again. Why would you hang around and associate with people that are going to lead you into temptation and do bad things around you? Why would you associate with them? Verse 16. And for verse 16, reference Leviticus chapter 26, verse 12. That's Leviticus 26, 12. The book of Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 27, that's Ezekiel 37, 27, and 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, that's 1 Corinthians 3, 16, and chapter 6, verse 19, that's 6, 19. This is verse 16. And what union has the dwelling place of Elohim with idols? For you are a dwelling place of the living Elohim, as Elohim has said, I shall dwell in them and walk among them, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. When you make this covenant with Yeshua and the Holy Spirit enters you, Yahweh himself has a little piece in you, okay? And you should not profane that. Verse 17 reference Isaiah chapter 52, verse 11. Verse 17, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says Yahweh, and do not touch what is unclean, and I shall receive you. Verse 18 in the end of chapter 6, reference 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 14. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 9. I'll read these over again. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 6. And Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. For verse 18. And I shall be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says Yahweh the Almighty. And those verses again were 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14, 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 13, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 9, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 6, and Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. Now that ends chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. And that will end the reading for today. We will start in chapter 7 on the next show. This has been a very productive session. It's been a blessing. I really love it. So I will say, may Yahweh bless and keep you, and I will catch you on the next show. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com, a voice for European people worldwide.